everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, who is not dressed as a clown on the other side of the glass. What in the world is it with all the supposed clown sightings that have been dominating social media anyway? It is Wednesday, October the 5th, 2016. Hope the week's going pretty well for you. We're going to get right into the political races. Brian Bickle is with us. Mr. Bickle, a Democrat who is running for Pima County Supervisorial District Number 1. Pretty big district, includes the towns of Oro Valley, Marana, as well as the unincorporated communities of the Catalina Foothills, Tortolita, and the Casas Adobes area. More than 196,000 people live in the 245-square-mile district. The incumbent is Republican Allie Miller in that district. Brian Bickle was the chief executive officer of the Southeast Arizona Medical Center in Douglas before he retired and now lives in the foothills. He also has quite a service record to the United States, serving not only in the Marines and Army, but also the Navy. Brian Bickle, what about the Coast Guard? I mean, my goodness, I don't think I've ever met anybody who served in all three branches. Yeah.
Well, it was interesting, and there were some logistical reasons for doing that, but I enjoyed my time in the service and was proud to serve.
Now you have decided to get into politics. Why did you get into this and hope to unseat Allie Miller?
Well, I spent some time looking at local government and thought it might be interesting, and then I looked at the supervisorial district that I'm in and didn't feel that I was being well represented by the incumbent. She's a first-term incumbent, and I thought this would be an opportunity to improve the services to the constituency and get involved in serving the community again.
Allie Miller talks a lot about fixing our roads. What's your solution to that?
Well, I think everybody that I've heard from that has talked about fixing the roads, everybody that comes up with a plan doesn't come up with a plan to fix the roads. They come up with a plan to pay for fixing the roads. And the numbers that I've heard range from $250 million to $1 billion. So there's a pretty significant spread there. And I think the thing that we need to do before we get into trying to find a way to fund them is to find out what it's really going to cost to fix them. And I feel confident that a lot of the legwork has already been done, but it would be nice to survey all of the roads that Pima County is responsible for, grade them as good, fair, poor, and failed, and then come up with a prioritized repair schedule where we do the maintenance necessary to get them all into at least good or fair condition again, and take that information and make it available to the constituency where they could go to an obvious, easily accessible website, put in their address or any street that they're curious about, find out that, well, in 2018, they're going to do a double chip seal on the road in front of my house. So I'm not happy about waiting that long, but at least I know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. So I think that would be the first step. And once we've done that, then let's figure out how we're going to pay for it. And
speaking with Brian Bickle, Mr. Bickle challenging the incumbent Allie Miller in Pima County Supervisorial District Number 1. Let's go to our live line number 790-2040. Let's take Tom, and then we'll take Jim. Tom, how are you? Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Bickle, what opinion do you have about raising taxes, whether it be property tax, sales tax, gasoline tax, any kind of tax whatsoever to meet the needs that you set forth in your platform?
Well, as far as raising taxes, not something that I'm in favor of doing unnecessarily. I think the important thing is to look at the services that you want to provide to the community, determine what they're going to cost, and then figure out what the tax levy needs to be in order to accommodate that, and what type of tax you're going to levy in order to be able to accommodate that. The way the gas tax is currently structured, we don't have any control over that. It would take legislative approval for us to do a local gas tax, so that's kind of off the table. Property tax is something that the Board of Supervisors has ultimate control over, so that's obviously the easiest thing to do, but I think it places an unfair burden on taxpayers. Sales tax is another option, and it's something that I think needs to be explored. But I think before we get into looking at raising taxes to fund projects, we need to evaluate the services that we're providing and the money that we're spending to provide those services and see if we can't restructure the way we're spending money and come up with a way to fund the repairs that we're going to have to make within the current tax structure. And if that proves to be inadequate, then obviously we're going to have to take a look at other alternatives.
All right, back to the live line. Jim is with us. I think it's Jim Kelly. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I am well, Bill. Thank you much. Mr. Brickle, as someone who's experienced numerous styles of leadership and management in the Air Force, the Marine Corps, and the Navy, do you think that Chuck Huckleberry has managed the county well, and would you either give him another contract or extend his contract in any way?
I've had some conversations with Mr. Huckleberry. I think there's a wealth of knowledge there due to the amount of time that he's been working with the county. I think he's done a decent job of managing the county. I think if there's fault with his management style and some of the things that he's done, I truly believe that the primary function of the Board of Supervisors is to provide direction and oversight to the county administrator. And if that direction and oversight isn't forthcoming, then it's hard to fault the administrator for not doing what he was told if he hasn't been told anything. Certainly, I would visit with the other people on the Board of Supervisors, should I be fortunate enough to win the election, and seek input from everybody prior to making a decision on whether to extend, renew, or terminate the contract with Mr. Huckleberry. But whether it's Mr. Huckleberry or whether it's somebody else, there needs to be a county administrator in place, and I think there certainly needs to be consideration given to the amount of knowledge that he possesses as far as the county is concerned. So I'm not happy with everything that he's done, but I think he's done a good job.
What should the voter consider as they look at the incumbent, Allie Miller, and they look at you, the challenger, Democrat Brian Bickle? What's the bottom line why people should select you?
Well, in my observations of Supervisor Miller, she's not a collaborator. She's certainly not a compromiser. And I don't know that she has significant negotiating skills. I've done all of those things to a very large degree, both in my civilian and military occupations. I think that politics, whether you like it or not, is a process of negotiation, collaboration, and compromise. And if you're unwilling to do those things, then your efficacy in a political position is going to be limited. Whether you like the system or not, the way the Board of Supervisors does anything is by a majority vote. I've been very pointed with people in saying a supervisor as an individual has absolutely no power and authority. That power and authority rests with the board. And if you want to get anything done, I think if you go into a meeting situation and you don't know that you have the support of at least two other members on that board, getting anything done is going to be extremely difficult.
Supervisor Miller so far has chosen not to appear with you in any kind of forum. Is that correct?
That's correct.
There's another one tomorrow, I believe?
There's one on Monday, October the 10th, uh-huh. In Sun City, Rancho Vistoso.
What does that when you're out there alone and your competitor doesn't show up? What's that feel like?
Well, in some ways it feels good, and in some ways it feels bad. I mean, it's good because it gives me an opportunity to provide the audience with my opinion. I'm a little bit disappointed because it takes away the contrast in styles between myself and Supervisor Miller. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but I really would prefer to have somebody on the other side of the table.
All right, let's see if we can work Zach in real quickly here. Zach, I'm out of time, but I'm going to take you anyway. Go ahead.
Yes, quick question. It's candidates support Chuck Huckleberry's financial compensation package.
Well, repeat that, Zach, real quickly.
Does the candidates support Chuck Huckleberry's compensation package?
Okay. Do you support, Mr. Bickle, do you support basically what Mr. Huckleberry is paid?
I haven't seen Mr. Huckleberry's contract. I've heard the number $320,000 thrown about, and I've heard that thrown about in a number of different ways. $320,000 plus benefits. I don't know whether it's plus benefits or includes benefits, but without knowing what he actually makes. And I can tell you that I have gone on to the county's website and looked at the pay range for his position, and I can tell you that the upper limit that's published is nowhere near $320,000. So I would certainly question the accuracy of the numbers that are being thrown around, and until I know for sure what he's actually being paid, I'd be hesitant to comment on whether I would support it or not.
All right, Brian Bickle. Bickle for the numeral 4, supervisor.com. Is that the website?
That's the website.
All right, Brian Bickle, thank you very much. And point of disclosure, I am a resident of Supervisorial District Number 1. Thank you, sir, for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
All righty, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, thank you very much for your support over the years on the Buckmaster Show, and we're very proud of your support. It's a great visit over there, 3-hour drive. That's not too bad. It's not bad. Take a left at Lordsburg, basically, head up to Silver City, and I can't think of a better time of year. This weekend would be terrific up in the high country of Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, and that will have your full listing of the many things to do and the great places to stay in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. Question, how many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? None, if you use 5-Star Termite and Pest Control, because there are no cockroaches. Hasta luego. Adios, cucaracha. Do yourself a favor and call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
It's time for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's second annual Sweat for Pets Walk, Run, and Roll, October 23rd at the University of Arizona Campus Mall. Bring your well-behaved canine companion and all your friends and show your support for your hometown animal shelter. All proceeds go directly back to saving the lives of the homeless and neglected animals at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. You can win prizes too, including a Fitbit and an Apple Watch. Win a custom t-shirt when you raise $100. Register today and start building your team at sweatforpetstucson.org.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Are you ready for some professional hockey in the desert? I know Timothy Gasson is. Tim Gasson is the hockey columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. He's the media maker for the University of Arizona Wildcat hockey team, and he provides and will be providing color, radio color commentary for the Tucson Roadrunners professional hockey team, which is about to launch a very ambitious schedule. Tim Gasson with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you so much for having me back with you. This is a big week for Tucson hockey.
When does it start?
Well, the University of Arizona Wildcat team starts Friday and Saturday. That's their home opener at the Tucson Convention Center Arena. And then on Sunday, the professional Tucson Roadrunners make their public debut in a scrimmage at the TCC. That's Sunday afternoon. Admission to that is free. They hope that people will come and give at least $5 because it's a benefit for the U of A hockey team, which is going to be affected by this new pro team that's also going to be living at the Tucson Convention Center.
34 home dates at the TCC for the Roadrunners?
That's about right, and we hope there's going to be a few more because we hope the Roadrunners are going to be competitive enough to make it into the playoffs. And if they do, then there'll be a few more games at the Tucson Convention Center Arena.
Tim, this has been a work in progress, hasn't it, for the Roadrunners?
Well, it certainly has. You know, I kind of compare it to being pregnant but only having 3 months to give birth. The franchise was only awarded to the Arizona Coyotes. That's their parent team, the NHL Major League team in Phoenix. It was only given to them about in June. So they've only had a few months to put together an entire organization, an entire roster, and let Tucson know that the team exists. And that's why this public debut and this scrimmage on Sunday is going to be so important for the franchise.
Good piece in the Star, Greg Hansen, talking about management and putting together the coaches and everything. Really had to be done on the fly, pretty much. But the people that are around the Roadrunners are really hockey people, mainly from Canada. So they've got great experience coming in here, and they're going to put this thing together.
Well, this is the main difference between this attempt at Pro Hockey Tucson, and I shouldn't call it an attempt. I think this is going to be a home run, to use a baseball term, for Tucson sports. I really do believe that Tucson will embrace this team, and it will be successful. One of the reasons is because of the kind of staff that this team has. We have a general manager who played in the National Hockey League. We have a head coach who played in the National Hockey League. And these people achieved at the highest level in hockey. And now that their playing days are done, as coaching and management, they're going to bring this team to just about the highest level that Tucson could possibly achieve, and that's the American Hockey League. That league is the best minor hockey league in the world, and it's just one small step from the National Hockey League.
Do we have some hockey players who have good shots at going up to the parent team?
Well, absolutely. This year, this is going to be an exciting thing, I think, as Tucsonans become fans of the Roadrunners. They'll get excited to get to know this young talent on this team and then see them get called up to Phoenix, to the Arizona Coyotes, throughout the season. And I'm going to guess that there's going to be 6, 7, 8 players or so that are going to go up and down at some point in the season. And also, you know, there'll be major leaguers, just like in AAA baseball, who will need to come down to Tucson and do some rehab or come back from injury or maybe just work on their skills a little bit before they go back to the majors. So Tucson sports fans are going to see a really high level of play with the Roadrunners.
How about tickets for this? For the way this is being put together, are they readily available and easy to get, or how's it working?
Yeah, you know, they have that all in place. You can get tickets for both U of A hockey and for the Roadrunners through Ticketmaster. The Roadrunners have done something very smart in setting up initially here in Tucson. They have, I think it's the lowest ticket price structure in the entire American Hockey League. It's very affordable. They're aiming at families, and they want to make it affordable for families to go. In that same way, U of A hockey is an incredible value. It's much less expensive than the professional team, and you get to support your U of A team.
Can you take a quick question? We've got a caller who would like to ask you a quick question. Tim, let's go to Dan. Dan, go ahead. You're with Tim Gasson.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not familiar with hockey at all, but being from Arizona, but while you're in the season, does that mean that that we cannot have indoor shows and so forth at the TCC? Or are you blocking off the whole thing for 2 or 3 months?
Oh, no, not at all. The TCC, of course, books concerts, books the Gem Show, books a lot of trade shows. And both hockey teams have to share the Tucson Convention Center arena with everything else that is booked there. So, no, it won't be just hockey. There's going to be about 60 games between the U of A college team and the Roadrunners playing there. But all the other kinds of events that go on at the Tucson Convention Center and the Tucson Convention Center arena will continue. So this is just an addition to what's going on in downtown Tucson. It's not taking any other event away.
How does the... this league, that the American Hockey League, the division now that the Coyotes play in, the teams are predominantly from California, correct?
Yeah, this is an exciting thing that I think Tucson hockey fans, when they get to know this team, it adds another dimension. All of the AHL teams that Tucson will compete against in their own division are the minor league teams for the Coyotes. Rivals in the Pacific Division in the NHL. So, you know, when the Coyotes are playing Los Angeles, well, the Roadrunners will be playing the Los Angeles minor league team as well. So fans here in Tucson can, I think, get naturally more interested in what the NHL Coyotes are doing because the Roadrunners are playing the same minor league players that the competition has going up and down.
How about the Wildcat hockey? How is this impacting Wildcat hockey?
Well, it's impacting them. Well, first of all, there's going to be great competition to get people to go to hockey games. The Tucson Roadrunners is a professional team playing at a very, very high level. They have marketing expertise and the budget to let Tucson's know they exist. The University of Arizona Wildcat team is a club team. This is supposed to be, from what I can understand, their best team in many years, but they're at a financial disadvantage. 8 of their weekend dates have been taken away from them. They're going to have to play those games at 2 p.m. on Friday or Saturday. That's about a third of their schedule. So they're going to have what is an anticipated financial shortcoming, and that's why this scrimmage on Sunday is important. The Roadrunners very kindly are donating all the proceeds from that scrimmage to try to help defray the loss that the U of A hockey team is going to have. Admission is free, but they hope that fans will get at least $5 at the gate on Sunday afternoon at the TCC to help U of A hockey. So this is a critical year for U of A hockey. Can fans come and support them at the same time as they go and support the professional Roadrunners?
All right. Tim Gasson, Timothy Gasson, hockey columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. He also does media for the UA Wildcats hockey and provides radio color commentary for the Tucson Roadrunners. Thank you, Tim, and good luck as the season gets underway here very soon.
Thank you, Bill. I'm excited.
I can tell.
I hope you can tell that I'm excited.
I am. I can tell. Thank you.
I can come back and keep talking.
All right. Talk to you next month. Thank you.
What is Zauschneria? Come find out at Tona Chule's Fall Plant Sale. Tona Chule's Fall Plant Sale will have an extensive offering of both the typical and the unusual, from native, cold, hardy, and adopted plants, from agaves to Zauschneria. Make plans to attend Saturday, October the 15th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday the 16th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The plant sale is located in the propagation area at 7211 Northern Avenue, the first street west of Ina and Oracle intersection. For more information, visit tonachule.org.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, the monthly showdown will focus on the measure to raise Arizona's minimum wage. Then attorney Don Luce talks about the implications of the marijuana proposal. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KBOI, Tucson's voice, with live streaming anywhere in the world by tuning into buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, one of my favorite segments of the month because I love to travel. Folks who know me know that I've always got a couple of trips in the offing. It is our monthly travel segment of the Buckmaster Show with our Buckmaster Show travel industry contributor, Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer for Bon Voyage Travel, which is celebrating 40 years of delivering a wide range of travel-related services to Southern Arizonans through their four offices. And they've got a very strong internet presence at bvtravel.com. Let the travel experts at Bon Voyage let you travel like an insider. Ryan, good to see you.
Always good to be back, and love to hear that I'm one of your favorites.
Oh, you are, because I love to travel, and I know you do too, and I was following your most recent trip up to the Emerald City up in Seattle. You had great weather, I guess, and on Facebook, it looked like you all had a great time.
We did. We took some of our staff up there just as a thank you trip, but also to kind of immerse them in a great hidden gem of the United States. A lot of people know about Seattle, but going up there and immersing yourself in a couple days, it was fantastic. September, early October is a great time to go. We were fortunate, as you mentioned, without getting wet. That's probably an anomaly in Seattle, but what a beautiful place for us to see water that is not in a glass or a bathtub is quite exciting for those of us that are Tucsonans, have been here a long time. So that was fun. We did some iconic things, went caught a Mariners game, went down to Pike's Market and saw the fish and all of the great fun that takes place there at the marketplace. But just seeing the city come alive and the food and the seafood options there. Growing up here in Tucson, I guess my only seafood options as a little kid was Long John Silver's. And let me tell you, it was quite a bit better than the fish and chips at Long John Silver's.
Yeah, it's a very fresh salmon up there, and you stayed at a really iconic property in Seattle at the Fairmont. That's just such a beautiful, beautiful hotel.
Yeah, they've got a lot of properties up there that are fantastic, and the downtown area is vibrant. Mm-hmm. You know, you're within walking distance. It is a little hilly there, coming up from the waterfront, but great iconic place in the Fairmont Olympic. Used to be the Olympic Hotel. Been there for many, many years, but one of the properties, and I think you caught a great picture of our breakfast that we had. We took our team down to the Edgewater Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Which
Beatles,
really,
the Beatles stayed there, putting them on the map, right?
You talk about a unique property. It's not just a place, and that's what's special about travel. You and I have experienced this and talk about it all the time. Hotels are not just about where you go to sleep. They shouldn't be, and if they are, you are really missing the idea of getting away and experiencing something from a unique standpoint. The Edgewater really truly is the only hotel in Seattle that is literally on the water. Mm-hmm. There are hotels that are near the water. This hotel, the Edgewater, is right on top of the water. You mentioned the Beatles coming to town many years ago on their United States tour. There was no hotel in Seattle that wanted to touch the Beatles.
Wow.
They did not want them at their property for all of the reasons that you might think of, mm-hmm. with lots of fans and all that. The Edgewater is the only property that said, we would love to have you. It put them on the map. I believe they've been in business now over 60 years.
Wow.
And it is a view out of their windows you're not going to find anywhere else.
And for Tucsonans thinking about Alaska, and it's not too early to be thinking about cruising for next summer, Seattle's, of course, the natural jumping off point, and you can stay at the Fairmont. You can stay at the Edgewater, either coming or going or both. The experts at Bon Voyage would love to talk to you about kind of a pre-cruise and then an after-cruise trip. There's all sorts of side trips.
And you're talking about the Great Wonder in Alaska, and so there's lots of different ways to curate it, but I get a lot of people that say, I don't have a ton of time. I need to maximize my time away. I'm still maybe working. And what's beautiful about the Alaska experience now is we have nonstop service, Tucson, Seattle, and Alaska Airlines. So that's what we did. So you hop on the plane.
Under 3 hours.
You're up there in 3 hours. You are in the city. It's about a 15-20 minute drive from the airport into the heart of Seattle. We would recommend a 2 or 3 night pre or post on that cruise. I like the pre. I'd like to get up there, experience the city. You get to relax
Settle for a couple of nights. Yeah.
Stay right there at the Edgewater. Gets mm-hmm. your mind relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Experience great food along the waterfront there. We ate at Elliott's Crab Shack right down mm-hmm. the street. Just a great local find. And then you take that 7-night cruise right out of Seattle and mm-hmm. you're back there 7 nights later. Hop on that Alaska Airlines flight back home. And you can take either Princess or Holland America Celebrity. All have options. out of Seattle for those seven-night round trips. You and I have talked about the Inside Passage being a very relaxing,
Experience. The water is very calm, and you. And again, I'm talking about, and we're talking about Ryan next summer.
Of course.
Some folks may be saying, "Well, we just ended summer here in Tucson. Thank goodness."
That's right.
But before you know it, it's going to be time to be thinking about summer next year.
That's right. And you being a savvy travel plan your excursions far in advance. And there are great reasons for why you would want to do that. Some of them is there's great value that can be had in booking further
early
out.
Discounts, certainly with the cruise companies.
No question. And one of our expert analysis would be is then you get more of what you want, not what's left over. Waiting until the last minute. Sometimes there's a last minute deal to be had. But that deal is typically in a room that you probably wouldn't choose if you had your choice of all the options in front of you. So getting out in front of it now is a perfect time to start looking at next summer, knowing that the temperature will go back into the hundreds.
Oh, yeah.
That is a prediction that I think we're pretty solid on. We're not weather prognosticators, but I think Tucson will see 100-degree weather at some point in 2017. So get out to Alaska or plenty of other options, and let's start talking about that sooner than later.
Lots of events coming up. We've got an event coming up tomorrow, Thursday the 6th. This is Cuba 101 at the Bon Voyage Travel Center in Green Valley.
Yeah, it's going to be an outstanding event. It's actually, I believe, up at our Oro Valley
office.
I'm sorry, no problem.
You've got the four outlets, Oro Valley, Green Valley, River, and Campbell.
This one is
in Oro Valley. But you do have events coming up almost every Thursday.
Thursday of the month of October, we've got cruise events from luxury cruise suppliers all the way to some of the more contemporary and premium lines. But this Cuba event, you and I have specifically talked about Cuba, and I don't think we could talk enough about what is so exciting about this new and open opportunity now that commercial airlines have opportunities for you to fly into Cuba. There's still some issues, and you can learn this at our Cuba 101 event on getting approval by the Cuban government for you to travel. It's not a series of hoops that are challenging. It's just hoops you still have to jump through.
Yeah, and this is something that can be discussed and will be discussed at the meeting tomorrow about some of these, let's call them limited restrictions, because it's still not wide open where you just book your airline tickets.
They
have to be in a certain category and some other things. But that's coming up, the Cuba Cultural Odyssey, 3 o'clock tomorrow at the Bon Voyage Travel Outlet. Where are you in Oro Valley?
We're all the way up. There's where Little Abner's now and the Gaslight Theater opened up their music hall all the way up at Oracle and Rancho Vistoso Loop. So look us up there. It's in the 1200 block. Of Oracle. So we're a little bit further away from City Center. If you're on the east side, let us know. Give us a call if you're interested in Cuba and can't make it tomorrow, because we could get the Cuba experts to get back into town, and we have some of our staff members. We've actually had such a great turnout, we've added a 4:15 seminar as well because of the turnout. And that's interesting to think. I was doing some travel research, as I do, and a recent poll, I believe Travel and Leisure put it out, that said the top five most Googled destinations are in one of the, I think number three is Havana.
Wow.
So it is definitely hitting the market. Take a guess. What do you think the number one most Googled destination is in 2016?
Not sure.
Reykjavik, Iceland.
Oh, my goodness.
Iceland is now becoming a very popular destination.
Oh, we had a great trip to Iceland in 1998, actually. Anne and I were there. And actually, that wonderful magazine, travel magazine that Bon Voyage put out about Europe that was available in some areas here in town, one of the articles was Discover Iceland Now. And Iceland is a place that you really... pictures do not do this justice.
That's right.
And the travel connections with Iceland Air, very convenient. They have all sorts of opportunities, even
Denver. You can fly nonstop Denver to Reykjavik. So there's all sorts of great opportunities.
Very convenient. And very, like you said, it's off the beaten path for your standard Europe run. What a great place.
Yeah. Okay. So Cuba, and I know a lot of the major hotels now are doing some refurbishings of some of the real iconic hotels in Havana. You can learn all about what's going on.
Go now. Yeah. I can't stress that enough, because in a couple of years when all the cruise lines are descending upon these Cuban port cities, they will build up infrastructure and it will not be Cuba that you want to see, which is Cuba of the Castro years.
You want to see it right now.
That's right.
All right, Ryan Hansen, always a pleasure. The events coming up, not only Cuba, but the upcoming Thursdays, best place would be at bvtravel.com.
Yep, on that top website. Search bar, you're going to see a search bar that says seminars. So click on that, and we have a lot, as you mentioned, at our different offices. Would love to see you come out.
Four offices, very convenient, and they are really know what they're doing, folks. These are travel experts. Ryan Hansen, thank you, sir.
You bet.
12:45 on the Buckmaster Show on this midweek edition. Be right back. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back, The Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Green Things, for your support of The Buckmaster Show. They took Jan and Jack, the owners over there, went from 4 to 13 acres, and that is really looking good. The property over at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. I was over there a week or so ago, bought a beautiful rose plant, and now that plant is doing so well. Cut about 8 or 9 roses over the last couple of days. GreenThingsAZ.com, the place for all of your gardening needs. You will not regret a trip over there. If you're into gardening, that is the place to do it. Let's talk a little bit about Legislative District Number 9. That area includes Midtown neighborhoods north of Speedway, east of Craycroft, the Catalina Foothills neighborhoods, Casas Adobas, Flowing Wells, Sabino Canyon area. There are three candidates. The incumbent, Dr. Randy Fries, professor of surgery and psychological science? physiological science, yes, at the University of Arizona. Well-known trauma surgeon, former active duty surgeon in the U.S. Navy Marine Corps. Dr. Fries, as I say, he's the Democratic incumbent. There are three candidates, two Democrats, one Republican. The Republican, Anna Henderson, we spoke with last week. The other Democrat, Pamela Powers Hanley, is on our schedule for, is she tomorrow? No, she is next week. So anyway, Dr. Fries, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here.
How are you? Now, you've advanced past the primary, and now you're looking ahead to the general. Bottom line issue for Dr. Fries is?
Bottom line issue. What drove me last time also was education, making sure that we give our students, Arizona students, the opportunity to get a great education, because opportunity allows them to improve their lives, have a career, buy a home, and then have a family and have a stable career and a stable being able to provide for that family.
In the so-called off season, when you are not up in Phoenix, have you been working on legislative matters?
Yes, actually, still doing both, or all three things, working at the hospital, working on legislative issues, and then also campaigning, knocking on doors, talking to voters at the door, talking to voters in other venues. Whatever way I can communicate to the voter, I do. I am a candidate for re-election. That means I need to communicate to the voters my values, my thoughts on important issues, so they have an idea of what I might do once they send me to Phoenix, if I'm so lucky to be sent back. But yes, legislative issues, including dealing with some legislation that changes that come up. We have committees of reference for both the Judiciary Committee that I sit on and the Health Committee, and we have to approve the first process. The first part of the process is approving changes in existing legislation, is what's called sunrise or sunset through the Committee of Reference, and that those will be happening over the next couple of weeks. Also on the Health Committee, dealing with some issues with diabetes in child care and providing insulin services to children with diabetes in preschools.
Diabetes is certainly pre-diabetes is a huge problem right now, epidemic proportion.
Yes, but what I'm talking about is
juvenile,
type 1 diabetes,
yeah,
right? That affects the little ones.
Right.
You're talking about pre-diabetes, and is mostly
older
leading
folks
to the type 2, which mm-hmm. happens in young adulthood or adulthood, yes.
So this campaign, it's how have you kind of structured it? Do you
doing door-to-door, kind of that's the traditional thing, knocking on doors. And then you, I'm sure, have people who say, I don't really know who my legislators are. Pretty common, right?
Yeah. I'm still a novice at this. This is just finishing my first term. Had a great experience in Phoenix, responding well to the challenges, introduced a lot of legislation, actually had a bill pass out of the House with a 60-0 vote.
Which one was that?
It was correcting a legislative, it was correcting an error when Victoria resigned and Matt got appointed. I recognized, I just wanted to read I read a lot, so mm-hmm. I just asked myself, oh, let me read about this process. And I noticed that there was a sort of disparity in the size of the district, and if you had so many PCs, then the county supervisors must appoint within 5 days. But if you're a bigger area, then the county supervisors didn't have a deadline to appoint, and I just wanted to correct that disparity. The elections committee heard the bill, came out of the elections committee unanimously, came to the House floor, and passed out of the House unanimously. It didn't get heard in the Senate at all. Mr. Biggs never assigned it to a committee over there, and it was near the end of the session, and we were busy cleaning things up, but I'll try again if I get reelected to correct that disparity. Also, I had some successful amendments to Republican bills, so I amended a Republican bill of Mr. Stevens, from District 14, that required the Secretary of State to post clearly online the deadlines for, you know, we had Proposition 1, 2, 3, and there was some mm-hmm. difficulty in knowing when, what's the deadline to get my argument for or against it. So this bill very clearly directed the Secretary of State to very clearly state those deadlines.
Going back to Proposition 123, I'm going to be very curious as an observer to see how, if you do go back to Phoenix, you and your colleagues will handle the education issue in the new session, because it was certainly a focal point in the last session, but I'd hate to see it now as a back burner issue.
Well, unfortunately, I believe that the passing of 123 has put it on the back burner. I believe 123 is problematic, and I do hope that education will be a very forward issue in the budget negotiations this year. I certainly plan to push it, and I believe the legislature, not only should we deal with funding legislation, education year to year, we should have a multi-year plan to improve our reinvestment in our schools. And I have a plan that deals with several issues. The first is we need to freeze the corporate tax breaks. The corporate tax breaks that were passed during the recession are still phasing in, and our schools have bared the burden of balancing the budget for long enough. We need to reinvest in our schools, first by freezing those corporate tax breaks that are still due to phase in. We need to readdress Prop 301 sales tax, the 0.6 cent sales tax for schools. All that money goes to our K-12 education. It's set to expire in 2020. We have two general election cycles to get this issue back to the voters, because it must be renewed by the voters. And if we don't do that, then there'll be a huge fiscal cliff, and our schools will face a huge shortfall of monies come 2021. And then finally, I think we need to revisit what we just did to the land trust and how the land trust pays out. I do believe that we aren't utilizing it optimally. I do believe the land trust is robust enough to pay out to our schools more, but I think that 6.9% per year for 10 years is too much. I think we need to be creative and use a counter-cyclical manner. When the general fund is robust and the economy is good, the land trust pays out less because our general fund can meet our schools' needs. When the economy is stressed and the general fund is smaller, then our land trust pays out more to make up the difference for what the general fund is not meeting. And finally, I think we need to address our teacher retention issue. We have a teacher flight problem here in Arizona. I designed a program. I wrote a bill last session that said, let's reward our teachers. If you are a three-year or more experienced public school teacher, you can go to one of our state schools, U of A, NAU, ASU, and get an advanced degree in education for 75% tuition reduction. If you are a 10-year or more experienced teacher in our public school system, you, your spouse, and your dependents can go to NAU, U of A, ASU, and go to any college, get any degree for a 75% tuition reduction. That would reward our teachers for staying here. Not only that, it would keep possibly their children here in this state to attend our universities. So we need to look at creative programs like that that solve problems and encourage people to stay in the profession they choose.
All right. You've been listening to Dr. Randall Fries. And how about directing people to your website for more information?
My website is drfriesforhouse.com, and it's F-R-I-E-S-E, and it's the word for, F-O-R, drfriesforhouse.com. Also on Facebook at Dr. Randy Fries or Dr. Randall Fries.
All right. Dr. Fries, good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And by the way, our interview with Pamela Powers Hanley will be 1 week from today. Just wanted to clarify that. Dr. Fries, always good to see you. Thank you for coming in. And this afternoon, for Tucson at 4, one of our fine local talk shows. Mike Shaw is the host, and my friend Ray Allen will be engineering, producing that show. Tomorrow morning, we do 3 hours of talk, local talk. 6 to 9, it's Wake Up Tucson, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. We're going to be discussing the proposal that would raise the minimum wage here in Arizona. Also, our legal contributor, Don Luce, talking about some of the legal implications if Arizonans pass the marijuana initiative on the ballot. All that tomorrow on Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.